morning. It's good to be with you today. Sounds like the rain has tapered off a little bit. I was concerned it was just going to lull everybody to sleep, because that's what rain sometimes does. And, you know, it's just not fair for you to be able to go to sleep and me not be able to. So maybe we'll all be able to stay awake. I want to talk this morning about the subject of Thanksgiving. I was either going to talk about thankfulness or gluttony, and there is an article in the bulletin today about gluttony, so you can take that with you and read it on Friday. And but I do want to talk about this subject. It's a subject that, you know, we do talk about this time of year, but it's certainly something that we need to have in our minds at all times. In fact, just this past Friday at my work, we had a Thanksgiving lunch, and they asked me to lead prayer before we ate. And I talked in that prayer about an attitude of thankfulness all the time, not just this time of year. And that's something that we do need to remember. But, you know, historically, what you see here on the screen is a mess. This is not coming up the way that it should. But this is part of the proclamation that George Washington made in 1789. And he said, "Therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may all unite in rendering unto him our service and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people." And I like the way that is worded, and I do like the fact that people this time of year do take some time to think about being thankful. And certainly the psalm that was read this morning, Psalm chapter 100, it is a psalm of praise. And, you know, when I think about that psalm, it's very short, and that's why I had Jerry read a couple of them. But Psalm 100, you could kind of consider that like an opening song. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name." Certainly, the things that are included in this psalm are things that a lot of times we leave prayer recognizing that these same things about who God is. The psalmist talks about the relationship that we have with God and the relationship that we have in that we are like sheep and He is a shepherd. It talks about the goodness and mercy of the Lord. Verse 4 says that we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, and that we should be thankful unto Him and bless His name. So when we come together to worship God on any day, on any occasion, we should come with thanksgiving in our hearts. And so certainly that's something that we want to think about, and we'll think about that today. So thanksgiving is an appropriate response for what God has done for us. Let's think about some things that I know that we all know, but think about some things that God has done for us. First of all, we recognize God as being our Creator. And that's something that the psalmist recognizes here. The Lord, He is God. He has made us and we are His. Also, the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 12, "I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their hosts I have commanded." So we are thankful that we can enter into God's courts with praise and thanksgiving because He is our Creator. He made us, and we recognize the power of His being. He is also not only our Creator, He is our Sustainer. Again, the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 23, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusts in Thee." So when we come to God and think about what He is and who He is, He made us, and He also didn't make us and just leave us. He sustains us. We are able to live our life because of who He is and because He protects us. And certainly one of the most important things that we know about God and should be thankful for is that He is our Redeemer.
Again, keeping our thoughts here in Isaiah, Isaiah 44, verse 6, the prophet says, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no other God." So our God is our Creator, He's our Sustainer, and He's our Redeemer in that He has redeemed us from our sins. So these are things that help us to be thankful because we recognize who God is. And because of these things, we really should have nothing but thanksgiving in our hearts. Some of the things we should be thankful for, we should be thankful for our existence. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says that I give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly Paul was one that should be thankful because of where he had been, because he was in sin and persecuting Christians when Jesus appeared to him and said, "I've got a job for you." And then, of course, we see all the epistles where Paul starts out telling the brethren how thankful he is for God and how thankful he is for the brethren. Paul's life is one of thankfulness because he knew from where he came from and where he was now, and because God had given him the ability and the privilege of preaching the gospel of Christ and Christ and Him crucified. So Paul is thankful for his existence and what God has done for him. Also, we are thankful for our daily bread. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, "For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving." So Paul instructing Timothy here that the things that are given to us from God, that we're to enjoy those. And we are to be thankful for those things. So we're thankful for our existence. We're thankful for the things that are put before us as far as our daily bread. And of course, we are thankful for our salvation. Again, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, "But God be thanked that though you were servants of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." So certainly there are so many things that we can think about in our life as Christians that we should be thankful for. The things that we have from a physical nature, and we just gave of our means today as we do each first day of the week. And you know, when we have jobs, when we have the means of having a vehicle, having a house, having the things that help sustain us from a material standpoint, and really most of us are blessed far beyond what many people in the world have, we should be mindful of those things and thankful to God for our daily bread, for our material things, but especially for our salvation. How can we be anything other than thankful for what God has done for us? You know, this is the time of year that people get off from work, you know, they're happy for that. And people are thinking about Black Friday and are they going to get up in the middle of the night, Friday morning, and go shopping. They're thinking more about the material things of this holiday more than they may be thinking about the blessings that they have received. And, Thursday morning will be the largest newspaper of the year, if Birmingham News has one on Thursday. But traditionally, that's the biggest paper of the year because it has all the sale papers. People start automatically thinking, okay, well, after I eat and take a nap, then I'm going to start going shopping and charging up on my credit cards. Well, you know, people are thinking about those things, but I want us to focus on the blessings that God has provided. And when we stop focusing on blessings God has provided, we lose perspective. And when we lose perspective regarding being thankful, our relationship with God really does suffer. And thanksgiving is the appropriate response that we should have toward God in every day of our life to maintain that proper relationship with Him. So thanksgiving is something that really should bring about a change in the attitude in our lives. So what attitudes does thanksgiving affect? Well, really, just about all the attitudes that we could think about, you know, thanksgiving should have an effect on those. But I just want to talk about three today. First of all, it's humility. Thanksgiving should lead to humility. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23 states, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." And to say thank you to God, or to say thank you to anyone, really is something that humbles us. It gives us a humble spirit. And when somebody goes out of their way to tell you thank you, and that's something that makes an impression today, because a lot of times people don't do that. Now, if something doesn't go right, you know, they're very quick to say, you know, what you did wrong and how that could have been improved, might be improved in the future. But when something goes right, you know, how many times do people come and tell you that they appreciate what was done? We certainly appreciate that on our jobs when something is done well, that somebody will come back or send an email and copy your boss on it that you did a good job on something. And a lot of times that's not done. To say thank you to someone means that you acknowledge that somebody else contributed to your success, that somebody else contributed to help you. And so there is an attitude of humility when you realize that I haven't done this alone, that I've had other people that have helped me. And certainly in our life as Christians, we have people that help us all the time. We have people that encourage us. We have people that go out of our way to tell us, "Hey, Randy, you may not have realized how you sounded when you said this, or there's some things that you're doing that are not the right example." And I've had people tell me those things before, and I can have a couple of different attitudes toward that kind of correction. I can have the attitude of, "Well, you know, let me tell you a few things about you. You're telling me that I'm not the right example. Well, what about this that you've done?" I can turn it back on them and be defensive, or I can think about, that must have been hard for them to come and tell me that, because that's something that's a difficult situation. And I ought to listen to what they had to say and think about it and apply those things and learn from it. So you can have an attitude of humility toward yourself when others are trying to help you. So what I'm saying is that thankful people are people that are humble. And generally, people that are not humble, that are filled with pride, they're not people that are filled with thanks. They're not people that are filled with gratitude. We know that when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, that there was only one that came back and told Jesus, "Thank you." And Jesus clearly expected thanks, because he said, "Well, you know, I appreciate you telling me thank you, but where are the others? Weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? Thankful people are ones that don't forget the things that are done for them, the kindnesses that are done. So thanksgiving leads to humility. And when we are thankful, we will much less likely be filled with pride. Thanksgiving, I also believe, leads us to be dependent on God in prayer. In Philippians chapter 6, or Philippians chapter 4 rather, Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So what Paul is saying here is that prayer and thanksgiving are something that go hand in hand. You know, that's something that I believe that most of us pray when we pray publicly, that we give thanks to God. Hopefully when we pray, we don't start off with our list of "I want, I want, I want, I want." But we're thankful for what God has done for us. You know, supplication is part of prayer. We do ask God for things. We ask God for help. We ask God for encouragement. We ask God for helping those who are sick. There are lots of things that we request, but we don't ever need to neglect being thankful for the things that God has done for us. And I'm so encouraged by the brethren here that when we have somebody that's ill and that God has blessed their health, that people will go and pray and thank God for listening to those prayers. We need to do that. We need to be thankful. We need to recognize that God is listening to us. The thankful person is a person that does not neglect prayer. And, you know, some of you may have seen on the internet, I wish I had printed out a copy because I just thought about it, but on the internet this week, Rose Davis had posted an article that said, seven things that you tell God when you don't pray. You tell God that you don't need Him. You tell God that when I need you, I'll call you. And that's kind of the attitude that sometimes people have toward prayer. Is I'm glad it's there. I'm glad that I have, in case of emergency, break glass. I'm going to go and pray to God then. But the person that has the attitude of thanksgiving isn't going to wait till they have an emergency. And we see that so many times on television shows when people will kneel down to pray, God, I haven't talked to you in a long time, but I really, really need you now. That's not the attitude that we should have. That should not be our practice in prayer. Thanksgiving means that we depend on God in prayer. Those things go hand in hand. The thankful person is the praying person. When we're thankful in prayer, we recognize our reliance upon God for all things. And we recognize our dependence on God. And that really helps keep out that attitude of pride, that attitude of selfishness in our life when we rely and are dependent on God. And you know, thanksgiving is something that also leads to joy. In Psalm 92, verse 12, and certainly you see the word rejoice so many times in the Psalms. In Psalm 97, verse 12, the psalmist says, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. And so here, the idea is that you recognize who God is, you recognize that He is holy, and you're thankful that you have that God. You're thankful that you can rejoice in the Lord. And people who are thankful are generally people who are content. And some of the people that I have known that are the most content and the most thankful have been those who really didn't have a whole lot. Which is kind of ironic to me. And I see others shaking their heads that they've noticed that too. People who are thankful are people who are content. And you know, people who are content are people who rejoice. And people who rejoice are people that are happy. And so thankfulness and happiness and joy, they go hand in hand also. If you want to be happy, then try being thankful. Be thankful to everyone that you meet. But most importantly, be thankful to God. But if you think about it, you think about the people that you know, the people that will acknowledge you, the people that will acknowledge things that you have done for them, even the smallest kindness that they perceive that you may have done on their behalf, and they go overboard in thanking you for that. They usually do it with a smile on their face, don't they? They usually do that in an attitude of joyfulness. People that are thankful, in general, are people that seem to be very happy. So if you want to be happy, be thankful to your brethren, and most importantly, be thankful to God. If we fill our thoughts with gratefulness, then there's really not a whole lot of room for being discontent. There's not a whole lot of room for being ungrateful. And certainly, ingratitude and ungratefulness and unthankfulness is something that when you see it, is very, very unpleasant. And it's distasteful to us. You know, sometimes when you watch America's Funniest Home Videos, you see things that are, on one hand, they're kind of funny, but in another way of looking at it, they're kind of distasteful. You know, like when you see kids that are opening presents on Christmas morning and it's not something that they wanted and they rip open it and they say, oh, and they throw it aside. And, you know, it's put on there because that's something that's supposedly funny. You know, I would have got whipped for that. You know, even if it was underwear for my grandmother, I was supposed to act like I liked it. You know, your grandmother didn't have a lot of money. You know, she knows you need underwear and so I knew how I was supposed to act when I got something. And I'll have to tell you a story sometime about a wedding shower that we had where, I'll just go ahead and tell you that we had a wedding shower up in Mount Olive, and Jarrell of course, is up there opening the presents, and she's oohing and aahing over everything that people have bought us. Well, her sister wrapped up a bunch of things that she bought from the Dollar Tree, and she put people's names on them, you know, like a green plastic fish platter that cost 59 cents. You know, there are all kinds of horrible, horrible gifts that she had wrapped up and put. This is from, you know, Sister Beth over at the church. You know, so Jarell's opening these things, and she's trying to smile. Oh, this is so nice, you know. And so she's having the attitude of thankfulness and gratitude for all these horrible, horrible gifts that we're getting. Of course, everybody, a lot of people there were in on the joke. But, you know, Jarell behaved in a very good way because she put on an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude, although she was probably thinking, when can I have a yard sale and get rid of these things? So, being ungrateful, being unthankful, even, you know, if it's something that you're really not that thankful for, it's just a really bad attitude. It doesn't come across very well when people are trying to do acts of kindness for you. You need to recognize that they have gone to an effort for you. And thankfulness is something that is pleasant, and ungratefulness is something that really doesn't make you look too good, and it's just not the right attitude to have. So thankfulness leads to humility, and it leads to dependence on God and prayer, and it's also something that leads to joy in our life. Also, thanksgiving is something that spurs us to action for the welfare and benefit of others. When we're truly thankful, we should also want others to have the same blessings that we have. In Psalm 107, verse 22, the psalmist says, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." Isn't that interesting that it says, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving"? It's talking about you're thankful, so therefore you're giving something up. You're sacrificing something. And so when we're thankful for food and clothing and shelter, you know, we want others to have those things also. When we're thankful for having a good life and a good job and things that are beneficial to us, we should want others to have those things as well. And most importantly, when we're thankful to God for our salvation, we want others to have that also. I was impressed yesterday when I was on Facebook. Debbie Reeves, I can't think of what her last name is, Lampier. You know, one of Hubert Reeves' daughters, they just had a class in evangelism at the congregation where they worship up in Kentucky. And she put on Facebook something that is real basic, but it's something that I haven't really seen a whole lot. She said, she stressed the importance of the class that they had on evangelism, and that if there were any of her friends, anybody who was reading that message on that page, that she was going to take the time to anybody who would listen and talk to her, she wanted to teach them the gospel. Because that's an avenue that she could say, this is what I have, this is what I have been blessed with, and I want everybody else to have this as well. And if you're willing to talk to me, I want to sit down and talk to you about this. How many times do people actually use the avenue of the social media that they're on to actually reiterate to people that might be reading that, hey, I'm a Christian and I want you to be one too, and if there's any way that I can help you and study with you, I want to open up my Bible and talk to you about this. So she, because of the result of that class, she realized that there's something that I'm not doing. There's an avenue that I could be using. So what I'm saying is that when we're thankful, truly thankful to God for our salvation, we look for avenues to try to help others have that too. We don't want people to be lost, or we shouldn't. We want others to enjoy the blessing that God has given us in His Son, so that we can be in heaven together for eternity. If people truly are our friends and we care about them, we would want to reach them with the blessing of the gospel of Christ. When we want others to have the blessings that we have, we'll work toward that as well. When you consider the example of Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 11, when he fed over 5,000 people, it says he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, all the disciples, to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes as much as they would. So Jesus here was thankful for the bread, he was thankful for the fish, and it resulted in certainly the miracle that he did, in an overflowing abundance of food, so much that they picked up more than, at the end, 12 baskets of fragments, more than what they had in the first place. And so Jesus here, taking care of their need, but he also later tells them he wants to take care of their spiritual need, not just their physical need. He wants them to partake of him. And consider the meaning and significance of what we did this morning in partaking of the Lord's Supper. Again, this time of the year, people consider this a time of thanksgiving, but really, shouldn't every Sunday when we partake of the Lord's Supper, there are things that we remember about what Jesus did for us, that he suffered and died, he was falsely accused of things that he didn't do, he was put on the cross, he was humiliated, and he was resurrected so that we can have a hope of heaven. Partaking of the Lord's Supper every Sunday is a time of sorrow for what Jesus had to suffer when we remember that, but it's also a time of thankfulness. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, it says, he took bread and he gave thanks, he broke it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. So it reminds us of what God in Christ did for our benefit. We should never do it out of repetition. We should never do it with our minds not engaged in what it is that we are remembering. We do it every Sunday because it's important, because that's the example that we have in the New Testament that the Christians did upon the first day of the week. Some in the religious world might argue that when you do it every Sunday, that takes away from the significance of it. But it doesn't. First of all, it's something that we have the example of doing, so we need to do that. And if it loses its significance, that's on us. It's not because it's not significant, it's because we have failed to keep our minds where they should be as we are partaking. And the men here do a good job of trying to focus our minds and our hearts in the comments that are made and the preparation that is made to make those comments and the prayers that are offered. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Always think about the significance and think about it in regard to being thankful. It reminds us of what God did for us. It also should be a reminder to us that we want others to be able to participate in that as well. Back to our point about evangelism. That the Lord's Supper spurs us into action to worship God. It spurs us to think about our hearts, that we want to keep ourselves pure and that we want to help others. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We truly do have so much to be thankful for. And I know this Thursday, when most of you are probably with family and friends, there will be times of reflection about things that you are thankful for. And a lot of times people are thinking about material things, but I also want you to think about spiritual things. And if you are together with those who are not Christians, try to remind them of what it is that we should truly be thankful for. And perhaps they're not as thankful as they should be for what God has done if they're not being responsive to that. In conclusion, I want to just remind you what we've talked about this morning. We enter into God's gates with thanksgiving, because thanksgiving is, is really the appropriate response to what God has done for us. Thanksgiving brings about a change of attitude in our lives. Or let me say, Thanksgiving should bring about a change of attitude in our lives. If our hearts and minds are truly thankful, it'll show up in our attitudes toward God. It'll show up in our worship. It'll show up in our interaction with each other as brethren and our interaction with others in the world. And Thanksgiving spurs us into action for the welfare and the benefit of others. Not just doing things of a material nature for others, but doing things to improve the spiritual state of others so that they can know the gospel of Christ. It's up to them whether or not they respond to what God has done for them. But let's not hide the message. Let's make sure that others know why it is that we are thankful and what they can truly be thankful for in their lives if they will respond to the gospel of Christ. If you have not responded to the gospel of Christ, you really haven't shown God or Christ that you're truly thankful for what He's done. He's given you a gift, but you have not chosen to accept it. And that's not being thankful. If you want to be truly thankful to Christ, show Him that you're thankful by repenting of your sins and by being buried in baptism and arising to walk a new life. If you haven't been faithful, make that right with God so that you can be pure and have a hope of a home in heaven in eternity. I invite you to come while we stand together and sing.